Good morning once again. Welcome to Youth Sunday. Just like to especially welcome our young people in our midst, especially the 12-year-olds joining us next year. I'd like to especially welcome Pastor Ed's children as well, Justin, Anna, and Asher. I believe two of them are teenagers. They joined us at the church camp recently, and Asher is also coming up to Sec 1 next year, right? Yeah. So we welcome them and look forward to getting to know them as well. Today's passage, we're looking at Hebrews 10, verses 19 to 25. And I've entitled this Connected. And you have seen this on the bulletin cover, as well as the bookmarks and some of the things that are happening today. The outline for today's text is just 6 verses. It's a short passage. Goes something like that. Draw near to God. You can find it in your bulletins on page 8. You can follow along. Verses 19 to 22. Hold unswervingly to the hope, verse 23, and consider how to spur one another on, verses 24 and 25. But before we do that, since we're talking about being connected, and these days, isn't everyone connected in some way or another? Let us do a little quiz, okay? I know it's early on a Sunday morning, okay, and there's only 3 questions, okay, so let's see how well you can fare. Maybe the young people can help in this as well. When was Facebook started? Any idea? Any guess? Any years? 19? Something, something? Guess what? It was in 2004. So the 13th this year, you share the same birthday as Facebook. It's not that long ago. It's just 13 years ago. When was YouTube started? Earlier? 1950-something? Good guess. Seems very long ago, right? February 2005. It's just 12 years ago. When was the first iPhone launched? Maybe some of you bought the first iPhone, I don't know. Anyone? 2007. It's just 7 years ago. No, 10 years ago. Oh my goodness. Still living in the Stone Ages. So just look at some of these dates. It's not that long ago that a lot of our, you know, the things that we are very associated with today, social media, smartphones, have been invented. And so, you know, it's only been less than 20 years since the internet has just gone viral in that sense, you know, and just taken off. High-speed internet, fiber optics, broadband services, 3G, 4G networks, you know, now we don't even have 2G networks anymore. Just last week, Mark Zuckerberg, the Facebook CEO, mentioned in an article at a summit, they call it a community summit, the first time, that Facebook communities can fill the void left by decreasing religious participation. And I've entitled this section, what I call, next slide. Can you help me with the slides? The clicker's not working. Okay, next slide. Facebook communities, basically, he's saying that people are decreasingly going to church, and so the church of Facebook. His aim is that through his social media platform, which is only 13 years old, with now global subscribership of 2 billion people, says that people are in need of purpose and support. And he hopes that Facebook and other social media platforms will fill the role in people's lives held by churches and social groups. It's so striking, he says, that for decades, membership in all kinds of groups has declined as much as 25%. That's a lot of people who now need to find a sense of purpose and support somewhere else. People who go to church are more likely to volunteer and to give to charity, not just because they are religious, but because they're part of a community. And isn't that a challenging but yet sad fact of what's happening today? As we, as a society, as communities, become more and more connected through the internet, yet our social relationships are declining. In 2014, it was noted, a study in Singapore, that addiction to social media and video downloading were on the rise and has even surpassed obsession with online gaming amongst young adult psychiatric patients. So at one time, gaming used to be the issue, and now it's addiction to social media and videos, watching videos online. And so Singapore has now, and schools are now targeting cyber wellness programs for preschoolers. Can you imagine? Not even those in primary school, as addiction grows in Singapore. But is this really the case? As we got connected digitally, as we got connected on the internet, on social media, do we really grow socially? Do we increase in our capacity to handle relationships? Do we indeed have friends online? And can this really substitute social communities or even religious communities such as the church, as what the Facebook CEO claims? And so we come to a passage like today in Hebrews 10, verses 19 to 25. Looking at how God's word exhorts us to get connected to Him as well as to each other. Firstly, draw near to God, verses 19 to 22. Paul starts off this passage, or this section, by saying, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, open for us through the curtain, that is His body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God." First and foremost, Paul reminds us, indeed, that we can have confidence to enter into the Holy of Holies. Now, the language here, as well as in a big part of Hebrews, is temple language, priestly language. And just before this section, in chapters 10 and preceding chapters, it talks about Jesus as our high priest and what He has done for us on the cross. Three times in chapter 10, before this verse, it says that Christ has paid the ultimate sacrifice once for all men. And so because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross, we can have confidence to enter into God's presence. And this most holy place is a reference to the Holy of Holies at that time in the temple, where only once a year the high priest could enter to atone for the sins of the nation of Israel. And so when Jesus died on the cross, it was recorded that the veil that was covering the Holy of Holies, this curtain, was actually torn into half, symbolizing that now all of us have direct access or connection to God. And there are three things that he mentions here why we can have that confidence. Firstly, by the blood of Jesus. Because of His shed blood, dying on the cross for our sins, we can have that confidence and assurance. Secondly, by His body that was broken for us. Jesus, God incarnate, man, fully God and fully man, come on this earth to show us a perfect example of what it means to live under the Lordship of Christ, obedient to the Father's will, all the way to the cross, paying the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. And lastly, because we have a great priest over the house of God, Jesus is both our sacrifice as well as the sacrificer in that sense. And the Bible teaches us that His role wasn't done in that sense even after the cross. After Jesus has ascended to heaven, He continues to intercede for us even when we do not know how to pray. Jesus indeed is our high priest. And through these three reasons, verse 22 tells us, we can then draw near to God. With two caveats, it says, with a sincere heart and with full assurance of faith. Indeed, this is an exhortation both for the whole church, but particularly for the young people in our midst. Don't rely on the faith of your parents. There are no grandchildren in God's kingdom. All of us have to face that question one day. Are we truly children of God? And we rejoice with some of our youths last week, where three of them, one was baptized and two were confirmed, and we heard one testimony today and two again this evening of how God has worked in their lives. Perhaps being infant baptized, growing up in the church community and reaching that place in their journey of faith to take that step of obedience towards baptism and confirmation. Paul then goes on to say, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. And if you look at this short passage, basically the 3 points correspond with the 3 let us statements that Paul tells us. Firstly, let us draw near, and now let us hold to the hope unswervingly. And in other versions it says, let us hold fast to the hope without wavering. And the sense here is that the picture of an anchor. If you walk around later and if you look at the youths wearing t-shirts, you know, you will see that we have a logo of an anchor on the front as well as the back. And this comes from a passage in Hebrews chapter 6, 17 to 20. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by 2 unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. Verse 19, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. So indeed, this hope that we have is meant to be an anchor. What does an anchor do? It holds us secure in the waves and the storms of life. It weighs us down and keeps us firm. And indeed, the youth years are tumultuous, full of storms, full of ups and downs. And this is the time that truly we want to challenge our young ones, hold fast to the faith that they have professed. And there's another connection here. The first one, we talk about connection to God or drawing near to God. And this comes within ourselves. It's a connection between our heads and our hearts. Many of our young people here grow up in Sunday school, grew up with their families as Christians. And so perhaps learning a lot about God through Sunday school lessons, through Bible stories, even through Bible study in youth ministry. But yet, we need to have a connect with our hearts. Do we truly accept the truths that we are learning? Or is it all merely head knowledge? Knowing about God or knowing about something is very different from knowing someone. And that's a challenge that we want to give to our young people, to come and know indeed the God of the Word and not just the Word of God. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. I think it's quite interesting, and perhaps one way to remember this, young people, is that when you want to connect the heart and the head, what's in the middle? Midway. Someone said neck. Our mouths, right? And says this is the hope that we profess. And indeed, we don't just want them to profess with their lips, but because of the connect between their hearts and their heads, they can truly profess that this is the hope that they have, that anchor for the soul, firm and secure. But before we get too carried away and say, yes, this is what I want to do with my life, I want to hold fast, I want to draw near to God, let us remember, every time it reminds us, it is God's work that has accomplished all this. He who promised is faithful. And because, like I mentioned, the 3 areas, the blood of Christ, his body, and the great high priest interceding for us, because of his sacrifice on the cross once and for all of mankind, we can draw near to God. We can hold on unswervingly to the faith because of his faithfulness. And lastly, after we connect to God, after we connect within ourselves to hold fast to the faith, Paul then exhorts us to consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. And perhaps this is the more familiar part of this passage that we often quote. So it says here in other versions as well, to spur one another or to stimulate one another towards love and good deeds. It goes on to say, in fact, three let us statements in this portion. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, verse 25. But let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Spur on towards love and good deeds, not give up meeting, encourage one another. Why is this so? What is this day that is approaching? Yesterday we posted on social media, as we were doing our final rehearsals, the day is drawing near. But this is a different day that the Bible talks about. It's the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, or the second coming of Christ to judge the world. The end of the age. Some believe that Paul also was writing prophetically, in a sense, because all the New Testament writers wrote before the destruction of the temple in AD 70. So there was, in that sense, persecution that was coming as well. But whether it's persecution or whether it's the Lord's coming, the point here is that time is short. Life is short. And to many of our young people, perhaps you think, no lah, I'm still very young. I still have my life ahead of me. I don't really need to be serious about my faith, you know. I can just cruise along, and perhaps one day when I grow older, I can be challenged and truly be serious about my faith. We never know when our time is up. So don't wait until it's too late to make that confession of faith and to step forward in obedience to truly live for Christ. Some use this last passage here, perhaps maybe parents sometimes, and says, verse 24, let us not give up meeting together. Hey, we must go to church on Sunday, huh? Bible say, right? Cannot give up meeting, right? As someone is in the habit of doing. Well, partly I guess that's the point, but the point is more of the second part of verse 25. What do we do when we meet together? We encourage one another. We spur one another on towards love and good deeds. So it's not just creating more activity or ministry in the church. And the more time you spend in church means you are more faithful. At the end of the day, are we fulfilling what God wants for us as a community of believers, as God's people? Young people, if I was to ask you this, do you think we need the older folk in church? Or do you need the older folk in church? What do you think? Or church, let me ask you this. Do you think we need the young people in the church? Yes? Why? Sometimes, you know, we refer to the youth or the children as the next generation or the future generation. I know I'm often challenged to remind myself that they are as much a part of the church today as all of us. Together, young and old, every facet, every age range is part of the church today. And God wants us to fulfill His purposes today, together as a community of believers. We need each other. How can we respond to today's passage? There's three questions that I would like to ask. Firstly, in response to drawing near to God, for what do we yearn, or for what do I yearn? Do we truly desire to draw near to God? As the psalmist David says, one thing I desire, this is what I ask, that I may dwell in the Lord's house forever, that I may gaze upon His beauty. Is that truly the desire of our hearts, that we want to press in and connect to God as much as possible? Hold fast to the faith. To what am I committed? Am I truly anchored in the faith that I hold? Or am I swayed around by the waves and storms of life? And lastly, spurring one another on With whom will I walk? This is truly a journey of faith. And the community, as a church, journeys together. Who are we walking with? Who are we journeying with in this journey of faith? Draw near to God in full confidence because of the salvation He has bought, and pay the price for the penalty of our sins. Hold fast without wavering to the hope because of His faithfulness and His power to cleanse us and reconcile us to God. Encourage one another because the day is coming. He will return once again. Time is short. Are you connected to God and His community? And truly, my prayer is that we as God's people will seek to connect to God, be anchored in hope, and encourage one another in authentic Christian community.